What's up, capitalists? I'm Nate Houseman, your guide to the 21st century, and we got to talk about the stolen 2020 election. And you're not watching this video on YouTube because I'm on probation for talking about this subject. I thought the coast was clear, but it just goes to show what a crappily run illegal organization YouTube is. So you're probably watching this on either Rumble or Odyssey, or you're listening to the podcast, but it's weird. I would rather talk about business, the economy, and pop culture, but when you've got criminals overthrowing and undermining free and fair elections, that's going to affect the economy because they're going to undermine the economy. So we got to talk about this. So if you find this content valuable, please share it. Please visit my website, natehouseman.net, and take advantage of the resources. I'm going to talk about the shop page a little bit later. And also, visit my locals page and join my group. I'm working on an exclusive, you know, member supporters only presentation about how leftists and all around evildoers take power. So I hope you sign up and enjoy that. But let's talk about the bombshells that undercut the big lie, which what happened on the real insurrection was on November 3rd, 2020. It was Biden who overturned the election, not Trump. And we got to normalize saying that. We got to be comfortable just talking back at the abusers in the media and the political class. But this is from justthenews.com. We're going to go over some of these articles, and we're going to look at some very positive developments in getting Biden decertified. And we're also going to look at what the left is doing in retaliation to all these, you know, developments, and ultimately the good news, the light at the end of the tunnel. I know it looks bad. I know it seems like it's taking forever, but we are winning, and we're going to correct the injustice that occurred in 2020. So this is from justthenews.com. I'm going to read this whole article, and then we're going to scan through the other following articles. There are now nearly two dozen credible confirmations of wrongdoing, irregularities, and illegalities that undercut the claims of bureaucrats, journalists, and Democrats that the November 2020 general election was flawless. This is by John Solomon. Oh, John Solomon, he's wonderful. Okay. Democrats and their allies in the corporate news media have coined the term the big lie to dismiss anyone who questions the conduct of their 2020 election. And that just kind of, that's just in line with communism and political correctness. I will never forget the observation by Theodore Dalrymple, the scholar, that leftist propaganda isn't so much about convincing people. It's more about humiliating people. It's more about treating people like dirt if they dare, you know, question their statements. Moving on, with each passing day, new irregularities, security vulnerabilities, and illegalities are being unmasked by bombshell revelations from courts, legislators, and other investigative bodies like the FBI and Homeland Security. The latest came last week, and this would have been the second week of July. The latest came when the Wisconsin Supreme Court declared that state election regulators had no legal authority to allow voters to cast ballots in mobile drop boxes, a jaw-dropping decision that invalidated the way tens of thousands of voters, many of them Democrats, cast their ballots. So if that invalidated the vote, did that court decision invalidate the votes that were cast in November 2020, that should be just decertification right there. But we'll wait and see. From Phoenix to Detroit, from Madison to Austin, there are now nearly two dozen credible confirmations of problems that undercut the claims of bureaucrats, journalists, and Democrats that the November 2020 election was perfect. In fact, it was quite imperfect. While none of the revelations at this point had persuaded courts to reverse the outcome that the presidential tally or unseat Joe Biden from the White House, they have shaken voter confidence in key battleground states and built a compelling case that the bigger lie was that the 2020 election was false. We're going to talk about the courts towards the end of this program and why they're dragging their feet, but moving on. Here are 21 important revelations uncovered by Just the News over the last 18 months, reporting complete with substantiating evidence and links. And I'm going to link this article in the description so you can look it up yourself. Number one, illegal ballot drop boxes. The Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled earlier this month that 570 drop boxes were used in the during the 2020 election were unlawfully approved by the Wisconsin Election Commission. Only the legislature may permit absentee voting via ballot drop boxes, the court declared. WEC cannot. Ballot drop boxes appear nowhere in the detailed statutory system for absentee voting. WEC's authorization of ballot drop boxes was unlawful. State Representative Janelle Branchon told Just the News that hundreds of thousands of votes were cast in the illegal boxes in the 2020 race when Biden and Donald Trump were separated by less than 21,000 votes. And we're going to talk about Representative Branchon a little later. Number two, foreign intrusion. Federal authorities have confirmed that two Iranian nationals successfully hacked into a state computer election system, stole 100,000 voter registrations, and used the data to carry out a cyber intimidation campaign that targeted GOP members of Congress, Trump campaign officials, and Democratic voters in the November 2020 election, and one of the largest foreign intrusions in U.S. election history. The defendants were part of a coordinated conspiracy in which Iranian hackers sought to undermine faith and confidence in the U.S. presidential election, said U.S. Attorney Damian Williams declared in an indictment. Number three, the laptop lie. More than 50 national security experts, countless news organizations, and large social media firms falsely told American voters in fall of 2020 that the Hunter Biden laptop, with damning revelations about Biden family corruption, was Russian disinformation. In fact, it was a legitimate laptop already in the FBI's possession, and Hunter Biden was already under criminal investigation before voters cast their 2020 ballots. The false narrative had significant impact. Polling shows the majority of American voters believe the pre-election censorship of the story amounted to election interference. And that's going to be a huge dark cloud over Twitter's head because they blocked the New York Post article reporting on that. Number four, alleged bribery. The former state Supreme Court justice appointed by Wisconsin legislature, the Wisconsin legislature, to investigate the 2020 election concluded that millions of dollars in donations to election administrators in five Democrat-heavy municipalities from the Mark Zuckerberg-funded Center for Tech and Civic Life violated state anti-bribery laws and corrupted election practices by turning public election authorities into liberal get-out-the-vote activists. That's the whole Zuckerbucks controversy. The Zuckerberg-funded CTCL, Zuckerberg 5 scheme, would prove to be an effective way to accomplish the partisan effort to turn out their desired voters, and it was done with the active support of the very people and the governmental institution, the WEC, that were supposed to be guarding the Wisconsin elections administrative process from the partisan activities they facilitated, Justice Michael Gableman wrote. Illegal ballot harvesting in Wisconsin. Gableman, this is number five. Gableman also exposed an extensive vote collection operation known as ballot harvesting in nursing homes in which third-party activists illegally collected the ballots of vulnerable residents, some of them who lacked the mental or physical capacity to vote or were forbidden from voting by guardianship agreements. State election regulators unlawfully directed the municipal clerks not to send out the legally required special voting deputies to nursing homes, resulting in many nursing homes registered residents voting at 100% rates and many ineligible residents voting, despite a guardianship order or incapacity, Gableman wrote in his explosive report. Number six, ballot harvesting probe in the Peach State. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger has announced he has opened a criminal investigation into allegations that left-wing activists engaged in illegal ballot harvesting, collecting ballots from voters, and delivering them in violation of state law. Raffensperger said he is planning to issue subpoenas to identify a whistleblower who admitted he engaged in the operation, and there could be prosecutions. The True the Vote Election Integrity Group says in a formal state complaint that the man, identified as John Doe, admitted his role and identified nonprofits who funded it at $10 per ballot delivered. The watchdog group also claims that it assembled cell phone location records pinpointing to the alleged harvesting by as many as 240 activists. That's the whole 2,000 mules, you know, narrative, which proves that ballot harvesting on its own tipped the election. Who knows what else happened? Well, we have ideas of what happened, but how much more was the election stolen? And how much of that was foreign interference? Number 7, bad voter signatures. A review of Maricopa County's mail-in ballots, that's Maricopa County in Arizona's 2020 presidential election, estimated that more than 200,000 ballots with signatures that did not match voter rolls were counted without being reviewed, more than 8 times the number the county acknowledged. Number 8, 50,000 Arizona ballots called into question. An extensive audit by Arizona Senate officially called into question more than 50,000 ballots cast in the 2020 election, including voters who cast ballots from residences they had left. The tally in question is nearly 5 times the margin of Joe Biden's victory in the state. And that's a tried and true method of election fraud. Just having crappy voter rolls and, you know, inaccurate or out-of-date registration files, and then criminals being able to impersonate people on those rolls and then stuffing the ballot boxes. Number 7, foreign voters found on Texas rolls. An audit of Texas voter rolls identified that nearly 12,000 non-citizens suspected of illegally registering to vote and nearly 600 cases in which ballots may have been cast in the name of a dead resident or by a voter who may have also voted in another state. Officials are now in the process of removing the foreign voters and deciding whether prosecutions are warranted. Number 10, foreign voters found on Georgia rolls. An audit by Georgia's Secretary of State has identified more than 2,000 suspected foreigners who tried to register to vote in the state, though none reached the point of casting ballots. Raffensperger says prosecutions may be forthcoming. Number 11, more non-citizen voters. The Gableman investigation in Wisconsin also found non-citizens have made it onto state voter rolls in violation of state law. The Wisconsin Election Commission failed to record non-citizens in the WisVote voter database, thereby permitting non-citizens to vote, even though Wisconsin law requires citizenship to vote, all in violation of the Help America Vote Act, the investigator wrote. Number 12, election machine vulnerabilities. Dominion. Immediately after the November 2020 elections, the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency declared there was no hacking or machine vulnerabilities. The Iran hacking case put the lie to the first claim. And last month, the Homeland Security Agency admitted in a new report that the popular Dominion Democracy Suite ImageCast X voting system had 9 vulnerabilities, most of which include the ability to install malicious code on the machines. Federal officials say they don't know of any efforts to exploit those vulnerabilities in 2020, but the reversal in stories has significantly shaken confidence in the bureaucracy's assurances. 13, ballot chain of custody issues. The Georgia Secretary of State's office has opened an investigation into handling of drop boxes last November in one of the state's Democratic strongholds, following a media report there were problems with chain of custody documentation in DeKalb County. Number 14, Fulton County irregularities. Georgia's handpicked election monitor for Fulton County, the state's largest voting district, documented 24 pages of mismanagement and irregularities, link in the article, during vote counting in Atlanta in November 2020, including double scanning of ballots, insecure transports of ballots, and violations of voter privacy. The revelations prompted the state to take steps to possibly put Fulton County in receivership, empowering state officials to run the elections. Most of Fulton County's election officials have left their jobs. Number 15, errant vote counting. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp referred the audited November 2020 election results in Fulton County to the state election board after multiple reviews found 36 significant problems with absentee ballot counting, including duplicate tallies, math errors, and transposed data. Kemp's referral calls into question hundreds of ballots in the official count. 16, dirty voter rolls. More voter roll problems. Michigan's official state auditor has found that the Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, failed to adhere to a state election law by properly updating and reconciling Michigan's qualified voter roll. This oversight, according to the audit, increased the risk of ineligible voters casting ballots. And that's really the heart of election fraud in America, just ineligible voters casting ballots because of dirty voter rolls. Number 17, illegal exemptions from voter ID. The Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled as many as 200,000 voters were allowed to illegally skip voter ID for absentee ballots by claiming they were indefinitely confined by COVID when there was no such legal authority to do so. Biden beat Trump by about 20,000 votes in the state. So 200,000 voters versus 20,000 vote margin of victory. You see the problem. Number 18, uneven enforcement of election laws. The Wisconsin Legislative Audit Bureau identified more than 30 problems with the administration of elections in 2020, including unlawful orders and uneven enforcement of law, and urged lawmakers to make sweeping improvements. 19, we're closing in. More illegal harvesting. In Arizona, a half dozen people have already been indicted on charges of illegal harvesting in a probe by Attorney General Mark Brnovich that shows signs of expanding. It comes after the U.S. Supreme Court rejected the Democrats' arguments and concluded Arizona's ban on harvesting was constitutional. Voter fraud in Michigan. Michigan charged three women in connection with voter fraud schemes, including efforts to cast ballots on behalf of non-consenting nursing home residents. So, nursing home again. And number 17, still more nursing home fraud. In Wisconsin, Racine County Sheriff Christopher Schmeling announced his investigators have secured evidence that 8 out of 42 residents at a local nursing home have been recorded as casting absentee ballots that the families said was not possible because the residents didn't possess the cognitive ability to vote. So, and then the required reading list for anyone interested in the above issues, there's Wisconsin Supreme Court by Gableman Report, CISA Dominion Voting Machines Vulnerabilities Reports, the Iranian Hackers, and more. So I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to link to this article in the description. But several news stories are following up on this, and we talked about the Secretary of State of Georgia, Brad Raffensperger. He's investigating the election fraud. Here's something interesting. Pennsylvania has outlawed Zuckerbucks ahead of the midterms. This was from July 14th. This is on thefederalist.com. They've, Pennsylvania's Republican majority legislature has banned public officials from accepting and using funds from non-governmental entities to conduct elections. And let's see here. Here's a big one. New York is on the menu for election integrity. New York has been sued for failing to remove ineligible voters from the voter rolls. Judicial Watch, which is a great organization, Judicial Watch has filed a lawsuit against the New York election officials, accusing them of failing to remove ineligible voters from the state's voter rolls. So we talked about the voter rolls in swing states. How much you want to bet New York is actually a red state? There's just so much corruption. And the Democrats just found a way to finagle their way. I mean, tell me with a straight face that AOC was legitimately elected. We're going to look at New York's ghoul of a governor, Kathy Hochul, and what she's up to. And she's an absolute wreck. Now, coming to Wisconsin. No, first Arizona. This is from July 8th. Maricopa County Republican Committee votes unanimously to reject the fraudulent 2020 election results. This is from Gateway Pundit. And Gateway Pundit is just on it. You know, if you want a real you know, news website, Gateway Pundit is it. And similar resolutions have been passed unanimously by the Republicans in Wisconsin and Texas. And we've got, as of recording, three state representatives in Wisconsin moving to decertify the election in that state. Wisconsin candidates for office call for decertification of 2020 election based on maladministration of election due to unconstitutional drop boxes. So the first one is Wisconsin Representative Rampton. What's his full name? Timothy Rampton, who was running for governor, released a press release saying he'd be holding a press conference, and he called for a decertification in Wisconsin. He was followed by Janelle Branchen, who I mentioned earlier. She's calling for the decertification of Wisconsin's presidential election. And just today, Monday, July 25th, Tim Rantham, Janelle Ranchin, Chuck Wichgers, he's joined the calls to decertify Wisconsin. So big things are happening. Things are moving along. And if you're wondering why it's taking so long to really see justice, we're gonna get to that after the after I plug my store. But one more story before that. Washington State GOP activists organized ballot drop box surveillance teams. Democrats shriek in horror at the thought of traffickers getting caught on video. This is from July 19th, about a week ago. Republicans in the state of Washington are going to be monitoring the ballot drop boxes. And it says here, for years, since Washington State, like its neighbor Oregon, started their mail-in ballot schemes, no Republican has won statewide office for some reason. For some reason. Better yet, Democrats in the state passed legislation that allows people to drop off so-called legal mail-in ballots for other voters with no restrictions. And you wonder why Democrats keep winning. So Republican activists, they decided, okay, we're gonna surveil these drop boxes. And the leftists and the Democrats and all the malcontents, they're going apoplectic. They might riot. I mean, seriously, they might, you know, commit some violence. So we're going to talk about more about that. But if you want to support my program and what I do, let me tell you about my sponsor, myself. So I've got a shop page on my website, NateHouseman.net, and I just started selling mugs. So I got these. And I try to come up with funny slogans to put on the label, but I got a rewards program. So if you like what you see and share it with your friends, you'll get a discount. So take advantage of that. You know, it's a little more, you know, under the radar way of starting a conversation than maybe like wearing a hat or t-shirt. So, and who doesn't love coffee? So take advantage of that. Moving on, we're going to look at some of the ways that the left is retaliating against these efforts to clean up elections. But, you know, as I always say, they're only getting rash and violent because they're getting desperate. I mean, let's keep it up, stiff upper lip. The good guys are winning. Biden considers giving ID cards to illegal aliens released into the U.S. This is from Breitbart. President Joe Biden is considering issuing government identification ID cards to border crossers and illegal aliens who are set for release into American communities as part of the Department of Homeland Security's expansive catch and release operation. So this is just, you know, illegal immigration serves many purposes for the deep state's agenda. As far as, like, you know, election fraud, it kind of helps with the whole contaminating of the voter rolls. If you get enough, you know, non-citizens to be registered to vote, it's easier to, you know, especially if they don't speak English, it's easier to impersonate them and vote in their place and stuff the ballot boxes. Another example of intimidation, and all of these, you know, forms of retaliation, they depend on either fraud, psychological manipulation, or threats of violence or lawfare. More than 100 Trump-affiliated lawyers have been targeted by a dark money group. This is from a couple of days ago. This is on The Federalist again. The 65 Project will spend millions of dollars this year trying to expose and disbar more than 100 lawyers who worked on Trump's election lawsuits. And the, now when the, and now in the run-up to January 6th and all these court cases were being worked on and getting thrown out by the judges, getting thrown out by the courts, you know, part of that was to show that the courts have been, you know, have been compromised. But part of that is also to drive home the issue and really bring things back to what the Constitution says, and that's state legislatures are supposed to decide, you know, election cases. And there's a big Supreme Court, you know, decision that's in the works, and we're going to talk about that a little later. But this so-called nonprofit, the 65 Project, is spending millions this year to try to expose and disbar more than 100 lawyers who worked on rightful President Donald Trump's election lawsuits. The group, which takes its name from the number of lawsuits filed to challenge the 2020 election results, is a dark money-fueled nonprofit tied to the Democrat Party bigwigs. The 65 Project plans to file ethics complaints against 111 attorneys across 26 states while also airing ads against them in key battlegrounds such as Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. The goal is to prevent conservative attorneys from challenging election results in the future, including the upcoming 2022 midterms. For example, the group is pushing the American Bar Association to codify rules prohibiting certain election challenges and adopting language that fraudulent and malicious lawsuits to overturn legitimate election results violate the ethical rule duties lawyers must abide by. Well, how do we know they're legitimate, huh? Sounds to me like they're, you know, you're compensating for something. David Brock, the founder of Media Matters for America and a key fundraiser for the Democratic Party, is an advisor to the 65 Project. He told Axios, the goal is to not only bring grievances in the bar complaints, but shame them and make them toxic in their communities and in their firms. So, once again, leftist propaganda, whether it's Democrat, political correctness, or even communism, their propaganda is not meant to convince people. It's to humiliate them. It's to make them uncomfortable. So, which, you know, you do not have to take them seriously. I mean, take them seriously, but you do not have to take their statements seriously. You are free to, you know, meme them into permanent humiliation. So that's another dark, you know, attempt there. Then, did you hear about Lee Zeldin, the Republican candidate for governor in New York? He was almost stabbed during a speech last weekend or last week. And fortunately, he survived. You know, the attacker was released without bail by the New York State, you know, government. Although the attacker is being charged by federal law enforcement, so that's a good sign. But the New York GOP demands Democratic governor to apologize for fanning the flames of hate ahead of attempt on Lee Zeldin's life. So did Kathy Hochul, this witch, totally, you know, provoke the attacker? The chairman of the New York State Republican Party demanded Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul apologize for fanning the flames of hate in the wake of a Thursday attack on New York Republican Representative Lee Zeldin. And this is from thedailycaller.com. A man reportedly tried to stab Representative Zeldin during a campaign event Thursday before being restrained by attendees at the event. So, and then the article just posts a lot of tweets, you know, by conservatives and Republicans just calling out Hochul here. Very unusual advisory from Kathy Hochul, says Zach Fink, just now basically making fun of Lee Zeldin by mocking his campaign schedule this weekend and replacing his events with Democratic talking points about Trump. It's not a coincidence that just hours earlier, Kathy Hochul fanned the flames of hate by directing her supporters to his rally schedule. Kathy Hochul did officially apologize, but was she sincere? And, you know, he's a great reporter who's been following, covering Antifa. Governor, he says, Governor, you seem to suggest there should have been vigilante violence by inaccurately describing that the campaign event was as filled with far-right extremists. That is the same language and dog whistle used by Antifa militants to urge comrades to injure or kill targets. You hear leftists complain about dog whistles all the time. How much you want to bet that's projection? I mean, conservatives don't need dog whistles. We think for ourselves. And I'm not talking about liberals who are, you know, genuine liberals who are like, do sincerely care about science, human rights, the environment, genuine liberals. I'm talking about leftists who are just pretty much criminals masquerading as liberals. These leftists, they hate freedom, they hate justice, and they don't think for themselves. Robbie Starbucks said, Kathy Hochul emailed a schedule to your lunatic supporters of where he'd be. Don't pretend you don't care about Lee Zeldin now. So you kind of get the gist here. She's in so much trouble. I do want to think of something positive, though. The only reason she's governor is because Andrew Cuomo was forced out. You know, she was, you know, Andrew Cuomo's, you know, lieutenant governor. And don't think that we're not making progress. Don't doubt we're making progress. I mean, Andrew Cuomo was pushed out. She's probably next in the queue. So here's one more, you know, strange occurrence. Serious questions remain after Michigan News Channel and Associated Press published election results of 1 week before an actual primary election. So it looks like they're trying to, you know, influence the election. This just calls into question, you know, how do you know the media really does report fairly on election results on election night? That's just what I think of. This article by the Gateway Pundit. Last night, something miraculous happened. Tudor Nixon won the GOP primary for governor in Michigan. She received 47% of the vote compared to Ryan Kelly's 23% and Kevin Rinke's 13%. Nixon is endorsed by the DeVos family, one of the most influential families in the state of Michigan. She's also endorsed by the Rhino Senate Majority Leader, Mike Shirky. Incumbent Mike Major also defeated John Gibbs by a 50% spread. And Tom Norton lost to John Molinar for U.S. House District 2 in a 55% to 45% race. The problem is, Michigan's election primary doesn't take place for another 8 days, on August 2nd. Last night, several news networks published to their websites, prematurely, a results page displaying predominantly GOP races. There were a handful of Democrat primaries sprinkled in the published results. While no link was put on their homepage leading to these results, they were live and searchable by Google and other search engines. So, I mean, there's the idea that maybe these are meant as, like, propaganda to demoralize certain candidates or act like certain opinion polls trying to sway the election one way or another. But I'm starting to think, is the media even honest at all on election night itself? Like, do the winners really win? You gotta wonder about that. Now, I've been talking about the courts and why they didn't do jack shit in November, December, January, right after the election. And I want to remind everyone of a news story that leaked out in December of 2020. And that was the Chinese spies embedded in Western governments, data, according to a data leak. So Chinese Communist Party operatives have infiltrated the upper echelons of Western nations by embedding themselves in governments and massive companies, a data leak has revealed. Members of China's ruling dictatorship are working in top government positions within the United States, UK, and Australia. How many of you remember the story? And given how BLM and Antifa were rioting, you know, during 2020, how they're trying to whip up riots right now with protesters and malcontents demonstrating at Supreme Court justices' houses, you know, how much you want to bet it could have been even worse? How much you want to bet that some of these CCP operatives could have done some real damage if certain things didn't go their way? So they were embedded in government. We don't know for sure, but is it possible they were embedded in the court system? Is it possible they were, you know, influencing or maybe even threatening judges or blackmailing them, heaven forbid, you know? And what if the reason it's taking so long for us to decertify the stolen election was we have to carefully remove these operatives and all of these other, not just the Chinese CCP operatives, but the leftists, Antifa, the illegal, you know, immigrants from south of the border, you know, how much you want to bet the white hats are carefully removing these, you know, criminals and evildoers from the system before they make a move? So, I mean, Patel Patriot kind of suggests that on his Devolution blog. So, just the other day, on Facebook, oh, isn't it great, you know, how I was governor, you know, Kim Reynolds, she's, you know, she's not going in with the whole COVID lockdown nonsense right now. She did at the time. And I kind of answered, you know, there are, every state has varying numbers of leftists who can start shit. So I'll bet she very carefully neutralized them and very carefully and gradually neutralized them before, you know, we kind of got out of this. But there's another big development that's coming in October, which I mentioned, and which a lot of leftists are pulling their hair out over. The Supreme Court takes a case that could end state court election rules jurisdiction. So this is from the Washington Examiner. And this whole court case is about whether state legislatures have control over federal election results or not. And there has been so much, you know, corruption in state governments, and it's, you know, it's supposed to be the legislatures that certify the electors in a presidential election, not the Secretary of State, not the governor, not the courts. It's supposed to be the legislatures. So this court case by the Supreme Court really ought to take, you know, really ought to reaffirm that and take the power away from individuals who shouldn't have it. That's what the Constitution has always said originally. And how much you want to bet that when Rudy Giuliani was going around the different state legislatures and making his case, he wasn't, and Trump's other lawyers, how much you want to bet they weren't necessarily trying to convince the courts, they were trying to convince the legislatures and hopefully getting them to act on the fraud. So that's a very important development. It's going to come in October, just before the November midterms. And that's going to, you know, really, you know, clean up a lot of corruption, not just in the presidential elections, but, you know, elections across the country. I mean, why do you think Congress rubber stamped Joe Biden on January 6th? It's probably because a lot of the Congress members had stolen their own elections. Like I said, it's not like the title of this program says. It's not just Biden. We need to clean up elections everywhere in the U.S. So, and one way we can get involved is by the wonderful organization True the Vote. They're partnering with the nation's sheriffs. So I'm going to link this website in the description also. ProtectAmerica.vote. True the Vote's teaming up with our nation's sheriffs. You know, sheriffs have a lot of, you know, leeway in enforcing the law. And now I've only heard anecdotes, but it seems like sheriffs and the deputies seem to be a lot more ethical, fair, and, you know, diligent in protecting people than probably police are. So, you know, police, what police corruption varies from city to city, and definitely not all policemen or police officers are bad. I mean, most are pretty decent, but there's a better chance that sheriffs and their deputies are even better. So definitely support your local sheriff. Go to protectamerica.vote and find out how you can help. And just another tidbit, a fun little story, kind of showing where the country's headed. The Great Realignment. Democrats are increasingly the party of elite whites, and Republicans are increasingly racially diverse and working class. You know, supposedly used to be the other way around, but I'll hazard to guess that it's always been a Republican majority country across racial and ethnic groups, but the propaganda is just, you know, breaking down. This is from Legal Insurrection. And it's got a series of about half a dozen articles about Latino voters and Hispanics, you know, turning more towards the Republicans. And I would like to see a similar article about African-American voters and other races switching to the Republicans, but Latinos are, you know, a big deal. So, look, things might seem bad, but there's plenty of reason to hope that we're going to have a free country, that we're going to remove the corruption from our government. It's just, you know, it's just going to take time, but it's actually going faster than we really had a right to expect. You know, these evildoers have been infiltrating, you know, our country for generations, and we're just now exposing them. We have to expose them all, or else, you know, we can't just, you know, arrest or detain or unseat just the visible ones, or else the hydra's heads will grow back. We have to expose it all, and we are exposing it all. So keep a stiff upper lip, keep the pressure up, and vote. The reason why we caught the election fraud in 2020 was because everyone voted, and it was so overwhelming that the left had to, you know, go out in the open in order to cheat. So if we vote even harder this time, we'll just override them completely. So stay positive. And with that, I'll let you go. Like I said, if you find this content valuable, please share it, subscribe on whatever platform you're watching it on, and give it a thumbs up, and support my locals page, and visit my shop page on my website. I'm Nate Houseman, letting you go, and I just wanted to let you know, it's okay to stand up for yourself. Have a good one.